Hi, I'm Kate, and welcome to ADHDKidsCanThrive.com. Today's guest is David DeWitt, who is can be found at the podcast ADHD Money Talk or Instagram too, ADHD Money Talk. And I'm really looking forward to talking to David today because I think as parents with kids with ADHD, as they grow older, this is like a really important topic. An education piece that we need to provide to our kids on how to manage their money, especially when money is not really visible anymore. And so it's a really hard skill to teach young adults who have ADHD. So David, let's get started. All right, I'm really intrigued by your own personal story that you've touched upon that I've seen on social media. So can you tell me, do you have ADHD? Kind of what's your journey been with ADHD?
Yes. So I do have ADHD. I was diagnosed in high school when I was 16 years old, I think 16 or 15 in ninth grade. And it's really been quite the journey. From the time I was diagnosed until early last year, I kind of pretended like I didn't have it or didn't really understand the full scope of it and sort of tried to still like act in a, like I was in a world where I didn't have it and just try and fit in and never gave myself any grace or any sort of relief for, you know, the shortcomings I had, because no one ever told me that it was going to affect the way I dealt with relationships and the way I got things done and the way that I handled emotions and was able to, and the way I was more sensitive and all these things that I finally read a book, Delivered from Distraction. And I was like, oh my God, like this is so much more than just, you know, the reason why I was first diagnosed was because I was struggling in school, taking notes and paying attention and daydreaming and doodling in class. So it's right. A lot more than that.
Yes, it is. But I'm sure in ninth grade, that was kind of where it was just rearing its head the most. Okay. And so you're coming of age. Are you in your...
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me your exact
age. I'm 31.
Okay. So it took, when you're about 30 years old, you kind of really started to be curious about how your brain really works.
Yeah. I started a podcast before ADHD Money Talk, and I joined this podcast accelerator group just because I was curious about how to grow my other podcast. And I saw a podcast in there that someone else was doing about ADHD. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. An ADHD podcast. I have ADHD. Let me listen to it. And that just started this like this waterfall effect of me trying to read and listen to everything ADHD related. I didn't even realize there's this whole community of people with ADHD. Like I literally for, you know, I like 3 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, everyone's got a little ADHD, like never mind my ADHD. But now I think to myself, no, it's like a serious thing that I have that not everyone has. And that, you know, I deserve to have, you know, the extra time for things. And I deserve to give myself grace and space and, you know, the things that I need and not just sort of it's almost like self-demeaning to say everyone has it when you have it, but I didn't know any better because I was never told and I never really understood. So it's all very interesting, but yeah, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. I love that. And I think social media has really changed the conversation about people not feeling so isolated either. It's become a lot easier to figure out that not everyone struggles the same and that people with ADHD are, it's a different way of, it's beyond just not being able to focus.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Right. So social media brings that to light. So, anybody who just struggles with focus, I feel you, but that's not really a big deal. It's like all the other layers to ADHD that really can make life challenging. Okay. So now you're a finance manager.
Yeah. I'm a certified financial planner. I help people sort of navigate their personal finances. Once I went on this journey of like learning about my own ADHD and how much it's really affected me, I thought to myself, you know what? I really want to do this for other people with ADHD because, you know, I know it's affected my money. I feel like my first 4 years in finance, I was more focused on the investment side, not the personal finance, not the goals, the values, the budgeting and the sort of aligning spending with values and helping people sort of reach their dreams. I was more focused on just picking stocks and stuff like that. And so while I was doing that, I was also making my own really kind of poor financial decisions, you know, in terms of spending and sort of impulsive spending. And And I had no idea that was related to ADHD until I read some books, but yeah, so I realized like there's gotta be so many people out there that are struggling with their money and holding in a lot of guilt and shame and embarrassment about it. Like I was, and I think it might've been worse for me just because I was also putting myself out there as a professional who was kind of going home and making then decisions that I felt bad about. So it's like, I really want to help other people with ADHD manage their money and give them the space to be heard by someone else who understands them, which I think is part of the problem in the industry. Is it's like, you know, financial services is like, you know, you're wearing a suit and tie and, you know, you're trying to get, they're selling you insurance and they're selling you investments and they're not helping you as much with the sort of behavioral stuff and really getting into the weeds with like, okay, what's in your way? What are the obstacles that are holding you back from really being able to get to that place where you don't have debt, where you are feeling more in control of yourself, where you're thinking to yourself before you buy something, you know, is this going to provide long-term value to me or am I just satisfying the need for something now, instant gratification? So, yeah, so a lot of what I'm doing now is it starts off as coaching, sort of getting mindset right, getting sort of like understanding what you're spending money on, where it's going, if it's really important to you. And then it sort of transforms into like then planning long-term for like the real goals you want. If it's buying your first house, if it's a wedding, if it's retirement, if it's, you want to go on a vacation every year, how are you going to structure your finances and your saving and your budget? And how are you going to like be more intentional every day with how you manage your money?
I love that. Okay. So what age do you prefer your customer to be? I mean, have you started with teenagers?
I haven't worked with teenagers because I do have to get paid. I have to run a business. And so I'm finding the people that are coming to me the most is people who are in their 30s, mid 30s or early 40s, who they're just, maybe they're finding more success in their career and they're still like thinking to themselves, where is my money going? Like I'm making more money, but why am I not able to save any money?
Got it. What about 20-year-olds? Are they still, they're just blowing through their money?
Yeah. I mean, 20-year-olds, I know when I was in my early 20s, I was just trying to have fun.
Yeah. You're working and spending.
Yeah.
And
when I had my daughter was when I really, things really started to like get real.
Yeah. You had to become responsible for somebody besides yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that. Okay. So let me ask you, okay. So with a young, so I have a teenager who is a very visible guy, right? Everything has to be visible to him. That's how he does better in managing his life. So the way money works and will continue to work in the future is everything is a debit card, a credit card. It's all inside the internet.
Yeah.
Right. And the physical piece is the card, but even like Apple Pay now is in your phone. Like he wants to have Apple Pay where he just, you know, you're just swiping. And the concept of like, I have $5, right? I'm going to sound old fashioned, but where you hand somebody $5 and then for a $4 item and you get a dollar back. And that kind of gives you this visual sense of your money leaving and what's coming back to you. So how do you recommend, I'm sure this is for anybody at any age, how do you learn how to get a control on your money when it's not visible to you?
Yeah, that's a very good point. For me, I do notice a difference for myself between using a credit card and a debit card. I know the debit card's real money and I can watch the real account go down. So maybe for younger people, they do maybe sense the difference, but in terms of what to do, I mean, I think, and this is what I do recommend for everyone, is to have separate accounts for the different various goals and always save first. So basically when you get money, a paycheck or whatever it is, if you're in high school and you have still an allowance or whatever it is, and you get money, have four buckets. Like this is what I'm saving. This is what I'm going to spend. And really that's probably all you really need is save and spend when you're in high school, or maybe even invest. But if you're saving, maybe parents could, you know, match the saving dollar for dollar to incentivize them to learn how to save or want to save more for the future or invest.
Oh, that's a great idea. So if they save like for a month, like would you match it as a parent at the end of the month?
I mean, I guess if I got a monthly allowance or however it was, or a weekly allowance, I would, and, you know, I got my, whatever it was, maybe, I don't know what a reasonable allowance is these days, but $50 a month or a week or whatever. And maybe I'll take $20 of that and put it into my savings. And then my parents might match the $20. And I take the 30 and go to the movies or whatever it is.
Right.
That way you're, and that's sort of like replicating how it is in the workforce. When you have a 401k, you get the company match. But that starts to teach you to save.
And incentivize you to save.
Incentivize you to save for sure. And then there's apps like Capital with a Q where you can actually set up different savings goals. So you can actually, you know, as the kid, maybe you can help them see like, hey, what's something you really, really would like that's more expensive? And then have them put the savings towards a goal. And on the app, you can like put a picture, attach a picture to it so you can see what you're saving for, and it'll have like, okay, the goal is $1,000 and you're at 200 and you keep saving and saving to that. So things like that can really help teach kids and adults. It's great for adults too, to save for something. With ADHD, it's super important to sort of keep yourself looking forward towards what's at the end, rather than just, usually what I hear is they think, oh, I'm saving for this nebulous future thing. I don't know what really is out there in the future. So why I should just spend it all now, because I don't even know if I'll be alive tomorrow. I hear that kind of stuff all the time. Well, really then think about the future and kind of make the picture in your head of what it is that you want the future to look like. And then just save in small batches to keep it more short term. Like just, okay, can you do $100 this month? $100 this month, keep going. Don't say like, oh, I need to save $5,000 in a year. Just keep it short term and just keep tackling it month by month.
Right. And kind of chunk it down. Okay. And then I think I heard on your Instagram social media, you were talking, which I thought was a great idea. Are there accounts where you can put your money and it kind of makes money while it's sitting there? So like if you have a job or you get your parents' allowance, are there these apps where you can put your money and you can just earn money for it just sitting in that account, whether you're spending it or not?
Yes.
Like it kind of earns interest, I guess.
Yes. That would be like an investing. So if you,
Is there a place where there's like cash flow? Like it doesn't matter if you, as long as you have some money in there, if you have more, like, so if you get, like if my son works at McDonald's, right, and he puts his paycheck in there for the week, is there apps where there's an incentive for him to like earn at least some pennies while it sits there versus him just like wanting to be like, oh, I'm just going to blow it all tonight at this 7-Eleven and then we're going out to get pizza and I'm just going to blow through the whole wad. Yeah, I think you talked about something like this on social media, on your social media.
I probably did, but I don't know if you have money in there for a week before you spend it, you're only going to get pennies if you're in like a high yield savings account or something.
Okay.
There's not a lot of yield or return for cash right now, but I think investing was probably maybe what I was talking about, like an app like Betterment where you can start actually investing for long-term. That's money not to be touched. Or you can invest based on what the goal is. If it's a five-year goal, you know, an app like Betterment will help you actually guide you towards here's a suitable sort of risk for 5 years, where it's less risky in terms of like, if you're all in stocks and it's 5 years away, then, you know, you could be lower than where you started in 5 years, but in 30 years, you'd be higher. But, so that's an app where you can really start to bucket out. It's called a bucketing strategy. You bucket out your goals. Here's my retirement goal. Here's my, you know, I want to buy a house in 10 years goal. And here's my emergency fund goal where I can put money in and get like really small return. But in terms of, like if you're getting an allowance and you're spending it, no, it does not, you're not going to get a lot of money back.
Okay. That. I'm thinking this app just came. What about that Acorn app?
Oh yeah. Acorns is great. I think Acorns could be really good for younger kids. Because that's automatically helping you save with the roundup feature. So if you spend $5 or $4.50 at a store, it'll round up to $5. So it'll save 50 cents. It'll just keep doing that. And that way you're spending your money, and then you'll wake up in a couple of years and look at the Acorns app and see, oh, there's, you know, $500 in there, just like that. And that's going to be invested most likely, depending on how you set it up, for long-term growth. So that's going to help kids for sure. And adults, that's a great one for adults. It kind of makes like a game too, sort of gamifying it. But Acorns is good.
Okay. All right. And I'm thinking maybe this was the other thing I heard you talk about was, do you recommend using, like, I don't even know if you can do debit card, but a credit card that earns you points towards something? So I guess like airlines would be a big one, or hotel. Do you recommend those?
I recommend only if you know yourself so well that you know you won't get in trouble, or you have a really low limit. You force yourself into a low limit. So if you're young and you're starting off and trying to build credit, you may not actually qualify for a card that has points or whatever, but you want to just make it so that you don't have the ability to get yourself in any real trouble. So if you get
with debt,
because it's very easy to overdo it with a credit card, because you're spending and you're doing this mental math that's never really adding up right, and you think you have enough, but then you don't, and then next thing you know, you have a big credit card balance, and you're like, oh no, that's not good. So definitely, you know, ask the bank to like keep the credit limit to like $1,000 or whatever, so you can't go higher than that, and get the points and build your credit that way. There are also starting to be rewards debit cards, which I think is really awesome. So I know of two. I know Discover and Upgrade has rewards debit. So you can get cash back, like 1-2% cash back for spending your cash from a debit card. So that way you're getting the best of both worlds. You're not necessarily building your credit, but if you are someone who wants to just keep yourself disciplined and not give yourself, like for me personally, I love not being able to give, I love knowing I can't do something bad. Like having that, in the back of my head, I know I don't have a credit card anymore to use. I don't have to worry about getting myself in trouble because it's not really a possibility.
Yeah. So you probably, for ADHD young people, a credit card is not a good idea.
Generally speaking, I like using cash budgets, using a debit card, but if you're young, you may not be able to get a credit card with a very high limit, meaning you may not have the problem of having the $20,000 credit limit going out and buying, like, I don't know.
I know. But even if you racked up $500 and you're a young person, that could be hard to pay off.
Yeah.
You could easily be like, this is so fun, right? And
yeah,
all of a sudden you put $500 on your credit card that you don't have.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you're right. I'm trying to think back now. Like, yeah, if you're young and you don't actually have an income, yeah, then $500 is a lot, right?
Or you have a very, very small income, right? You have a part-time job.
Yeah. So then if you want to build credit and you're in that situation, then get a secured credit card where you actually have to actually put the money into the card. So it's not really, it's funny that they call them credit cards. It's not really, because you have to put the money in, but it still helps you build credit. So you could do one of those.
Okay. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Secured credit card.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to
pre-fund it. So it's like a debit card, but it goes to the credit bureaus and whatnot. So
it helps you build some credit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Some great tips. All right, David. So do you have any other words of wisdom?
All I know is, I think the studies show that money habits are often set at age 7. So the earlier you start with kids, you know, teaching them about money, the better. And if you yourself as the adult know that you could be better, then there's no better place to start than yourself in terms of being a better model for your children.
Right. Absolutely. And to start early, or to start now, if you're older and it hasn't, you know, you could improve on your money management.
Oh yeah.
Give David a call and he'll
help
you manage your funds. And I think you gave a ton of great tips for starting early with kids on helping them manage their money, and learning kind of how to
Yeah.
Make the money last a little longer.
Yeah. One good saying is to spend money after you've spent what's left over after you've saved, not spend money after you've, I can't remember the second part of the line, but spend the money left over after you first saved it. So always save first and spend what's left over.
That's very wise.
Don't spend and then save what's left over. Save first.
Right. And maybe have a goal for saving.
Oh yeah.
A long-term goal, like a picture. I love that. A picture of something that you want in the future and save towards that. And then you can spend what doesn't go towards that goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And since that is far off and it's, even though you have the picture, give yourself a shorter term goal. That's exciting too.
Yeah. I love that idea. Yeah. And I think just in my own family with my ADHD kids, the more of a game you can make it, it needs to be interactive and fun. Yeah.
Something like
the better.
Something if you have two kids or whatever, say like, okay, who can spend the least this month?
Oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Something like that. Like to make it a challenge. Yeah.